love wins. I'm living proof that love wins. Good evening, friends. Good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are in the world. Welcome back to another episode of the Reconnect with Your Teenager podcast with yours truly, Emma G. Now, if you are new to this platform, I am so thrilled and honored that you have found the time and made the space to listen to these conversations that I get to have with incredible individuals from around the world. Who am I? Yes, my name is Emma G. I am a musician, singer-songwriter, and youth empowerment through songwriting coach, helping teenagers to learn how to express themselves effectively through the art of songwriting. So much so that I wrote a book about it, the Reconnect with the Teenager book, for parents to, you know, utilize some of the methodologies and systems that I find work really well for with Gen Z. And I thought, well, why not take things a step further and talk to other a little unconventional youth workers, social workers, counselors, therapists, and experts in the field of youth and Gen Z with this podcast. And today I am thrilled, after a couple of technical glitches, to invite Daryl Dudley all the way from the other side of Washington, D.C., where I live. Daryl is a phenomenal human being. He is the CEO, and the founder of She's My Daughter, a nonprofit organization that seeks to end violence towards women, specifically through trafficking, domestic violence, sexual assault, and trigger warning, rape. Now, one of the things that I love about Daryl's work is that he really works hard to empower men to be their best kind of fathers, because we believe that when you have healthy parents, we have healthy children. How are you today, Daryl?
I am so good, and it's great to be on your podcast with you today. Thanks so much for the invitation.
No, of course. It's so wonderful to see your face again. I know we got to catch up in person. You're my first podcast guest that I've actually met with in person last year. So great to see you again. Now, for everybody who doesn't know about you or your organization, I know that I briefly gave a little bit of a run through about what She's My Daughter is all about. But can you take us back to, you know, when did this all start for you? Why is fatherhood specifically such an important part of your life and your work? And why did you decide that that was the route you wanted to take when it came to helping this next generation?
Yeah, so it really began for me about 16 years ago. Myself and my wife, we were actually youth workers, and we were helping parents understand some of the potential dangers in the media, what they should look out for as it pertains to making wise choices for their family. And in doing our research, we found out just how much violence and misogyny and dishonor there was towards women. And we knew we could make a difference in the lives of women around the globe by just engaging men on this idea that if every man would treat every woman with the same dignity and respect that he would want for his own daughter, his own mom, his own aunt, then we could really change the landscape as it pertains to human trafficking, domestic violence, and sexual assault. And so over the years, I've just been a great listening ear to women, just to hear their stories, and they felt comfortable often just telling me some of the things that they had gone through and some of the things that oftentimes we as men ignore. I have a daughter and a bonus daughter, and also I have five grandchildren, just had two in the last 3 months there. So for me, it's so important that women are valued, not necessarily just because they're daughters or just because they're human beings, and they deserve honor and also value. And so that's what we've done at She's My Daughter. In doing our research, we continue to find how important it is for fathers to be involved, how significant their connection is with their daughter, and how much of a huge change they can make just being connected with their daughters. So we go all out helping fathers engage with their daughters, make meaningful conversations and meaningful events, and stay involved and activated in their lives. Because the sciences tell us unequivocally that the more confident a daughter is, the less likely she is to fall prey to predators off and online. And dads are a big part of their confidence boosting.
I love that. I think, you know, coming from New Zealand, we've definitely seen on a cultural perspective that there are so many negative ramifications that can come from, you know, ignoring some of those issues that you're talking about, specifically around parents and being present for their children and specifically their daughters. One of the things that I love about your work is that you really are focusing though on the role of a man in a young woman's life. You know, I think we it's so easy for us to think that, you know, when we have mothers present, that that can be and often has to be enough. But what your work is very much, you know, involved in is focusing on the positive aspects and empowering men to really step up and be an integral part of their daughters' lives. Can you tell me a little bit about, like on a statistics level, how or data research, whatever level, how, you know, you've seen some of the changes with the work that you're doing with She's My Daughter?
Absolutely. So we work with fathers and also others around the country, just helping them engage with their daughters, helping them make, again, meaningful conversations. So one of the things that we've seen is that when fathers are engaged, we get testimonials from their daughters of just appreciation, saying, "Thank you for engaging my father. Thank you for enlightening my dad on how much a relationship actually means to me." You know, we'll probably get this a little bit later, but oftentimes when fathers are estranged or separated their daughter from their daughters for any reason, a lot of times shame gets in the way, and then space gets in the way, and then the less likely a father is to absolutely reconnect. But what we're finding unequivocally is that the daughters really want their dads to connect with them. And in doing so, change happens. Girls' lives are blossoming, they're flowering. And so we've seen the anecdotal evidence in terms of the father and daughter connection.
I love that. You said something in the very beginning of our conversation, which piqued my interest. And that was, I mean, it's a logical argument, but I think it's something that we don't often think about, is that when we have positive male role models, i.e. fathers in our lives, as young women, we have found that we're less likely to seek validation in the wrong places, or get into, you know, dangerous or potentially dangerous situations, which can result in obviously some pretty dire situations. Can you speak on that a little bit more?
Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, fathers are a huge part of their self-esteem and their growth and development. Just in reference to your question there, I saw a quote one day which really impacted me. It said, "When someone is hungry, they'll eat from any table." And so
Oh.
oftentimes you'll find that, you know, women or men, you know, when they're sort of emotionally needy, right, they'll go anywhere to get that satisfied. But when fathers are activated in the house, when they're activated in the lives of their daughters, then the daughters see, you know, hopefully what a real man is, and they won't be tempted to go out and seek that the wrong type of love from others. And so that's one of the really most potent things that children, and I remember being a child myself and just hungering for my parents, especially hungering for my father, that attention, for him to be activated in my life. And you know, I can even think about places I got in trouble in, and they were because, you know, I just wanted to eat off somebody's table. I was hungry. And so that's what we find really, really significant. Their engagement shows them what a real man is. And so they won't be susceptible to bad situations. If you think about human trafficking for a moment, right? The predators are going after the ones who have low self-esteem. The predators are saying, "Hey, listen, I know, you know, your father's not around. I know you can't afford to get X, Y, and Z. You know, maybe I can take you out. Maybe meet me out at the mall somewhere. I can get your nails done. I can, you know, buy you these new kicks. I can do this. I can do that," which your parents aren't doing. And very often, if they don't have that love from a father, the ability to say no to the predators, very often they're sucked into a life of a forever life of servicing terrible situations night after night after night.
What do you think mothers can do in this sort of situation? Because obviously, you know, there have been countless situations where women get left with children for whatever reason, and sometimes it's not because the father wanted to necessarily leave. But, you know, how can we, because I mean, what you're saying is 100% accurate, right? The way that our daughters act and respond to the world is absolutely reflections of how they're raised. But there's a lot of women, a lot of mothers that, you know, their worst nightmare would be to have a daughter who, you know, is subjected to trafficking or assault or abuse or, domestically violent relationships. How can we navigate that platform, whether we are single fathers, single mothers, or co-parenting?
Absolutely. Well, I think number one, what we try to do is encourage fatherhood across the board. And we know there are certain situations where the father can't be connected to his daughter for whatever reason. And so in situations like that, we do, tell mothers, tell the single parents to actively seek out good father figures. You know, they might be an uncle, might be a cousin, might be somebody in the family or someone who's absolutely trustable and who's proven their trustability throughout the years to engage with the daughter, to have them speak positive things into the lives of the daughters. You know, one of the challenges that women often face is that the only voice they hear from a man are catcalls or things about that accentuate their body. But very often they need someone to speak to their intellect, their mind, and to their activities in life, to speak to those things that they might not hear often. And very often a man can do that, sometimes in a way that women do, but aren't necessarily as equipped to do as a man. And we find when both of them work together, great and powerful things can happen. So we, again, want to encourage women to encourage fatherhood in their families. And that could be a great thing. And if not, again, finding other role models out there who can walk alongside with them and be a positive force in their lives.
What does it look like to be a positive male role model for young women? I'm asking this because, you mentioned a lot of young women are raised to accept and be okay with and almost crave the catcalling and the objectification that we often receive of our bodies. And I think a lot of that comes from this idea that that behavior is healthy and welcome and wanted. How do we navigate that space? How do you as a man and, you know, working with other men, how do you navigate that space?
One of the things we tell them in terms of being a good father is someone who is attentive to the needs of his daughter, has a listening ear. We talk to many fathers who, in trying to navigate these spaces of the relationships of their daughters or maybe other men, being forceful, being hard, and really wanting their daughter to be protected. And that's a good thing. But very often they sometimes lack that ability just to sit back and listen and give them an open space to share what's ever on their heart. So number one, I would say just being a good listener. The other thing I would say is to be a great example as you connect with other women. And it could be the mother, could be your wife. And how do you connect with them? How do you speak positively to them? How do you encourage them? How do you engage them? How do you show yourself as a gentleman to other women? And that's a great thing for the daughter to see. So she'll have an example. And so when she gets of age, she won't just choose anything, but she'll choose somebody like her great father was.
Yeah.
And so listening, setting a great example of being active in the things that she enjoys, right? And those might be things that are counterintuitive to what you enjoy. But being involved with those things and being happy about being involved with those things, that goes a long way in making that girl feel positive about life. And the beautiful thing is that we as fathers, we have the power to do that. It just takes time. It takes studying of our daughters, and also a willingness to be there and to be activated in their lives.
One of the things that comes to mind, and you know, I've been working in outside of youth work. I've been working in particularly male-dominated spaces for most of my life, and one of the overarching themes that I've noticed, you know, in the music industry specifically, but fun fact, I also studied to be a mechanic for a while, which is also a very male-dominated space, and I killed it, just saying. But one of the things that, you know, has definitely shown up time and time again in my periphery is that the idea of listening to women in particular, but to each other in many ways, amongst many other of the qualities and activities that you're talking about, they can often be interpreted as feminine qualities. And I'm sure you're aware there has been a heated argument over the past few years about what healthy masculinity looks like versus toxic masculinity. And I'm sure that, you know, obviously that reaches out into the world of fatherhood. How do you, you know, as the founder of She's My Daughter, how do you navigate that balance between supporting healthy masculinity, supporting men being feeling human beings, whilst also recognizing that there's a beauty in the strength and that it's not a toxic quality? In fact, it shouldn't be a toxic quality.
Yes, so one of the things we find as we engage with men, there are those things that historically we have thought of as sort of being masculine. And some of those have been things that don't work out as pertains to having a healthy relationship with your daughter. Mm. And so, you know, that sort of brawny, strong man that goes out there and fights the world can often come in the house and fight his household, if you will.
Right.
But we try to engage them on the idea that making a softer connection with your daughter is going to be a more positive outcome as it pertains to her life now and also her life in the future. And that it is so easy to turn your daughter off or away from you because you're too hard or because you weren't listening to her in an appropriate fashion. And so what we engage the fathers on are, these are some steps that you can take. These are some ideas that you can carry out in your household. These are some ideas you can sort of manifest in the relationship with you and your daughter that have proven time and time again to have positive outcomes. And so that's what we try to do, show them what the positive things are and also show them how it works amongst society. Now, we also would like to bring in other men who've had positive relationships with their daughter to give testimonials of how those things have worked out in their lives. And we also have men who come in and they're in a situation of estrangement and wishing, hoping they had done something differently in the relationship with their daughter. And so seeing both sides of things and then having them sort of choose that positive side and giving them some steps they can take, carry out some simple things they can do to make those relationships much better.
I love that. I think that's, you know, that's beautiful, beautiful work. I mean, I grew up in New Zealand with my mother and my father was in Fiji my entire life. So you're kind of punching me in the feelings right now, but I love it. I'm here for it. I want to touch on maybe a slightly controversial point. I think a lot of the time when we look at single parent households or fathers not necessarily showing up, it's really easy for the general public to make assumptions about either the economic status of the household and or the educational status of the household and or the ethnic background of the household. Can you tell me a little bit about how, as an organization, you navigate the differences between different economic backgrounds or different whatever it is, education or different ethnicities, when it comes to, because obviously it's not just Black families that you're working with. It's also, I'm sure, Asian and white and Hispanic and whatever, European, like it doesn't, disparity happens in many ways, shapes and forms. How does that impact the work that you're doing?
Yeah, great question. So one of the things I'm thinking about is that we like to say there are no perfect parents and no perfect fathers. And no matter what your current situation is, whether it's a situation of you're estranged or whether you have a mediocre or even a great relationship with your daughter, whatever color you are, a socioeconomic background, you can always improve that relationship. And so what we try to do is focus on the idea of improvement. I don't care who you are, you can always, always make it better. Do things more intentionally. And so what we do find, we work with all socioeconomic groups. We work with all races. We work with literally people around the globe who want to become better dads, better fathers. And so any of those steps they could, you know, take something that they're not doing so well and do them better. And so that's what we like to focus on. And then that doesn't necessarily focus on one particular group, if you will. Now, every just depending on where you live, there might be other challenges that you have to deal with. But all of the principles that we use can be used across the board in any place, with any group, with any background.
I love that. I want to throw you another potentially controversial question here.
Bring them on. Yeah,
like, bring it on, babes. So what... And again, I'm saying this with all due respect, obviously, and I honor your work completely. However, I am also acutely aware that there may be women in the world who feel some type of way about an organization focusing on raising daughters from a masculine point of view that feels like it's encroaching on, you know, the women's work, the mothering aspect. Has that been an issue in the work that you guys do? Have you found some kind of, like, backlash from the feminine or more feminine side of parenting to the work of fatherhood?
Every now and then we'll get a small rumbling about, you know, why do we focus on fatherhood? Certainly there are some out there who feel that a woman can do the complete job. And we try to tread lightly. But also we're very firm on the fact that we believe a man's involvement is definitely a significant part of the upbringing of the children, and man and women working together can really create an optimal, not a perfect, but an optimal situation. So every now and then we get sort of rumblings about that. The pushback we also get is, you know, why don't we work with boys? Why don't we focus on boys in terms of the challenges they're going through? And our thought is always that, you know, women have been downtrodden, suppressed, oppressed for so many years throughout history. And they're valuable enough to be focused on. And so, but, you know, most of the people, and I would say a greater than 98% of the people who we interact with really appreciate the work that we do, and they do see it as significant.
Because it is. Yeah. Like, absolutely. I please don't mistake my question as being hostile. I'm just
Oh, no. I appreciate it. I'm glad you asked.
Well, you know, It's an area that I'm really intrigued about, because I see, you know, I was raised by a single mother for most of my life, spent, you know, as much time as I could in Fiji with my father. But, you know, having lived that experience between, you know, a single parent household and then a full household, I kind of have some appreciation for the different dynamics. But I'm also very aware that, you know, we very much live in a world that we're almost forcing women into this position of having to be solo mothers, which is a really difficult task. Furthermore, we're also raising a generation of boys young men that almost glorifies kind of the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am kind of mindset, which doesn't empower men at all, in my belief. So I want to circle back to something that you kind of alluded to but kind of skipped over. When it comes to, you know, obviously your focus is on women or young women and daughters, but do you work with, you know, helping young men realize and become the best versions of themselves as you do the work to not disempower women? Or suppress women, I should say.
Absolutely, yeah. So great question there. One of the things we've seen, which has been totally encouraging, is that as you walk through the streets of Washington, D.C. especially, you're seeing more and more fathers walking and playing alongside of their children.
Which I love.
I'll be honest with you. When I was growing up, and I'm 50-something years old, when I was growing up, yeah, you did not see that at all. Mm-hmm. Zero. I can't remember, you know, in my neighborhood, and it was, you know, wide swath of people. You did not see men playing out with their children. But now I'm so excited to see that absolutely changing. As it pertains to working with boys, we do a lot of speaking with boys group and have done that over the years, just trying to encourage them to be the best version of themselves. Now, one of the things that we speak to them about is what you talked about just a moment ago in terms of the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And we make this connection that, of course, all women are valuable. Mm-hmm. But we go a step further with men because men have to have sort of an object to think about, right? Mm-hmm. Men don't just run. We got to have a football in our hand, right? We got to have something that is going along with that. So in terms of the story that we give men is this idea, hey, how do you want your daughter to be treated? How do you want your offspring to be treated? How would you want your mom to be treated? And make that connection. And very often they'll see that, no, would not want my mom to be in situations like that, my daughter to be in situations like that. And one of the other things we engage them is this idea of, you know, asking them questions. If you go into a group of boys and say, hey, guys, are you guys going to be virgins while you're, you know, as you're growing up until you get married? There's not going to be one boy who said yes. Hmm. But if you shift the question to say, how many of you want to be active, present fathers in your children's lives? Every single one of the hands will go up, just shifting that question, because very often they've been in situations where they didn't have their father engaged, and that burns a hole in them. And I'm seeing now this trajectory of men wanting to be better, wanting to be activated in women's lives, and not just, as they would say, just go through women, if you will, but really saying, hey, I want something different for my future. I want something that I didn't get, and I can have that if I work towards that.
I love that. And excuse my granny, you're just reminding me of an interaction I had several years ago with a not-so-gentleman who advanced onto me, and I politely told him no, and he then called me the B word, and I kind of turned around and I was like, excuse me, do you have a mother? Do you, if I was your girlfriend, would that be something that you would, you know, would you like her to be disrespected like that? No, then what are you doing, sir? I think that cognitive reframe and that leading by example that you clearly do so well is just such a powerful, powerful way to, you know, really evoke change when it comes to not just leading, you know, positive masculinity, but leading, you know, the positive fatherhood movement that you seem to be doing so well. I can't believe our time is up. I feel like I could talk to you for a million and 2 years. But before we go, can you let people know where people can get hold of you?
Absolutely. So you can reach me through www.shesmydaughter.com. We're also on Instagram at shes.my.daughter. We're trying to get a presence on TikTok, but I've been reticent to doing any dancing. So we'll be working that out. But I'd be grateful to come and engage with anybody about making this world better and safer for women around the globe.
I totally think you should start a father-daughter TikTok dance challenge. I think that, you know, totally in alignment. That'd be brilliant. Awesome. Hey, thank you so much, Daryl. I really appreciate your time. Really appreciate your work, your spirit, and your energy, and just, you know, the work that you're doing is phenomenal. From my mouth to your ears, thank you again for being here. To everybody who's listening to this or wants to know more, again, shesmydaughter.com. You said com or?
Yes, .com.
Okay. .com. Okay. So they're a .com, even though they are a nonprofit. breaking the boundaries. I love it. Until next time, friends, this is the Reconnect with Your Teenager podcast. You are listening to me, Emma G, speaking with the incredible Daryl Dudley from She's My Daughter. Until next time, be good, be kind, spread love like it's going out of fashion. And don't forget to tune in next week. Peace. treasures.